Thank the Lord for the privilege of being here this evening. Have you ever heard someone express a religious philosophy and say, it isn't about you, it's about Jesus? It's almost as if they're to say, really don't worry about yourself, about the things you do, the sins that are in your life, just focus on Jesus Christ. Another way of looking at that is don't worry about doing anything to actually be saved. It is a gift of God. As saints, we're used to terminology such as getting saved. But you don't hear that too much out in the religious world today, do you? Terms like repenting, being born again, those are terms that are biblical terms that we're familiar with, that mean something to us, but yet it seems like the modern so-called Christian world has left some of these terms behind, and instead they use terms like making a decision for Christ. But there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there, than simply making a decision for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, Second Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, if we are in Christ, we are different. We are a new creature. It is not simply Jesus, but there is something about us that has changed as well. Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, a man must be born from above. There's a change that needs to take place in our lives. The Bible commentator says every man must have two births, one from heaven, the other from the earth, one of his body, the other of his soul. Without the first, he cannot see or enjoy this world. Without the last, he cannot see or enjoy the kingdom of God. As there is an absolute necessity that a child should be born into the world that he may see its light, contemplate its glories and enjoy its goods, so there is an absolute necessity that the soul should be brought out of its state of darkness and sin through the light and power of the grace of Christ, that it may be able to see or to discern the glories and excellencies of the kingdom of Christ here and be prepared for the enjoyment of the kingdom of glory hereafter. But yet you'll hear, I'm trusting Jesus for my salvation. Well, that's a good thought, but you could almost translate that to say, I hope that Jesus saves me in spite of my lifestyle, in spite of my continued sins, when really the Lord has a whole lot more for us than that. Some people say we are saved by grace and not by works. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that thought is scriptural, isn't it? We are saved by grace and by faith, and it's not something that we do. It is a gift of God. It's not because of the works that we do that we're saved, lest any man should boast. In other words, we cannot work our way into heaven. We cannot donate enough money to get into heaven. I remember as a teenager, I mowed lawns for a man, and he lived a very wicked life, and he died in his middle age. And instead of leaving money to the woman he had lived with for many years, he left it to a church. Well, that's not enough to get us into heaven, is it? We can't buy our way into heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So our righteousness, the deeds that we do, it is true. Those things will not get us into heaven. It's going to take more than that. But there is a scriptural balance to a faith-only approach to salvation and making it to heaven. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Did you notice that? It's not just having faith in the Lord, accepting Jesus as our personal Savior, but we labor, Paul says, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the deeds done in his body. So what we do in our body really does make a difference, because we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. It's going to take some effort for us to be saved, for us to make it into heaven. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. Luke 16 and 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. We're going to have to make some effort, aren't we? It's not simply showing up at a church service or getting our name on a book somewhere. It's not the good deeds that we do. It is making an effort to get into heaven. Just like the woman that pressed her way through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus, she really made an effort. Let's look at that in Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. Luke 8 and 43, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him. and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. This woman of her own accord knew the power of Jesus. She had faith, but she was also willing to press through the crowd, whatever it took. Whoever she had to pass by, whatever obstacles there were, to get a hold of the Lord and to actually touch him. Luke chapter 19. We're going to have to press. It says, The kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered, verse 1, and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. A lot of people have sought to see Jesus, have had an interest in Jesus, but we're going to have to press if we're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And I'm sure for a grown man, this may have taken some humility, being humiliated to climb up in a tree like a boy. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. When the Lord looks in our hearts and he sees the intense desire, when he sees that we're willing to press past any obstacle, that touches the heart of the Lord. I thought of the wise men that traveled from a far country. That was quite an effort in those days to see the Lord. And these wise men were probably descendants of Abraham, that knew of the promise of the Messiah. And when it was revealed to them, the child is going to be in this area, they were willing to make a press, whatever it took to get there. Bandits, thirst, sun, whatever it may have been, they were willing to make that effort. What kind of effort are we willing to make in our Christian lives today? We live in a land of convenience, comfort. Are we willing to press through whatever it takes to see the Lord? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Matthew 12 and 42, The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That woman made a real effort just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And then think about us today. What kind of effort will we make toward our salvation, toward eternal life? Is there one greater than Solomon that we should be pressing toward? Do we need to make an effort in our Christian lives? Or is it faith only? Is it just doing an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow that's a ticket to get us to heaven? Do we actually need to make some effort to go along with that? It said that she shall rise up, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why do you think she would condemn that generation? because they weren't willing to make the same effort that she did to some degree? Is there anyone that will rise up and say, I was willing to pay the price? I was willing to do whatever it took in the judgment day, and will their lives be a condemnation to us because we simply did not put out the effort that it took? Jude, verse 3. I believe the scripture has a balance to being saved by faith. We must have faith and works. Jude, verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That was true in Jude's day. What about today? Do we still need to earnestly contend? Or do we have a modern, relaxed Christianity? Or will that multitude of witnesses rise up in judgment day and condemn us for our lack of effort in our Christian faith? Earnestly contend comes from a Greek word that means to struggle for. We're going to have to make a struggle, aren't we, in life? We're going to have to struggle against ourselves, against the devil, against temptations, discouragement. There are some struggles in life. We're going to have to make some press in life. We're going to have to put some effort into it. The road to heaven is an uphill road. The road to hell is downhill. Think about it. You're not going to get to heaven by drifting along with the pleasure-seeking crowd of today. We're not going to get to heaven by accident and wonder, oh, how did I end up here? If we get to heaven, it is going to be because we have set a purpose and we will not turn from our resolve. Sickness may come our way. Loved ones may forsake the Lord. Persecutions may come. We may get tired. We're going to have to make a resolve and say, I'm going to fight until my last breath. We're going to have to stay focused, aren't we? There's some running required if we expect to be saved to make it to heaven. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. First Corinthians 9 and 24, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Run like if any other person runs faster than you, you're going to lose. Run like that in your Christian experience. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, not self-indulgent, but brings himself into control. Can you imagine an athlete that was given to overeating or given to oversleeping or anything over, any excess? They strive for the mastery, being temperate in all things. They're very careful about how they take care of their bodies. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. If they're willing to do this for a ribbon or a trophy, for a moment of glory, what should we be willing to do for eternal life? For a home in heaven, for a crown that is incorruptible. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Is it going to be worth running? I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. not uncertainly. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we're indecisive, I don't know if I want to follow the Lord all the way or not. I don't know if I want to give up all the world or not. We're going to fall short. It's going to take a resolve. We're going to have to be willing to press into the kingdom of heaven. I want to encourage you this evening, run like your life depends on it. Some big animals could certainly motivate us to run, couldn't they? Or even some people could motivate us to run. And that's how I want you to be encouraged to run the Christian race, because there is someone after you that wants to destroy you, that seeks to bring hurt into your life, heartache. Run like your life depends on it. I want to encourage you this evening to run as if there's a heaven to gain, because there is. And I want to tell you, the race is very short. In a very short time, it's going to be over for every one of us. It'll pay us so well to run like there's a heaven to gain. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I really appreciate the song that they sing, children sing. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Says there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because the Father up above is looking down and He sees all of that, doesn't He? So Paul says, I keep under my body. You know, one of the signs of the last times is people are intemperate. They're incontinent, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says they're not able to contain themselves. They're just indulging in every desire, every whim that may come to their mind. We can't do that if we're going to press our way into the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to simply make a profession of Jesus Christ, to wear a crucifix around our neck, and to have our name in a roll somewhere, to have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. That's not going to be enough. We're going to actually have to tell ourselves no to some things. I keep my body under, because my body would be a hindrance to me if I don't bring it into control to make it into heaven. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah 5 and 12, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how shall thou contend with the? Then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? When people enlist in the military, they send them the training, boot camp. And the idea is to get these men toughened up to the point when they're actually out facing the battle, they can hold up in the battle. The Lord is going to let some things come our way in life that we're going to have to fight against. We're going to have to press our way forward. And you can consider it somewhat like boot camp. The Lord is toughening us up for the real battle. And Lord, help us to be willing to press, to be willing to fight, to be willing to run like there is a crown to be won. Lord, help us that we will put our whole heart into it. If I'm decisive in a day of indecisive in a day of peace, what am I going to be when the real trouble comes? Yes. You know, the time to make your decision is now. Yes. When things are going well, if real persecution comes, kind of late at that point to be making up our mind, I'm going to press my way all the way to the end. The time to do it is right now when everything's going great. Yes. The time to be training is right now. The runners are out running ahead of the race, right? They don't just start running at the race, but they're preparing and developing that strength and stamina and speed before the race ever comes. What should we be doing now in our Christian experience? We should be pressing. We should be exercising spiritually. We should be running. We should be fighting. Because the real battle is coming. Yes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Are there any weights that we can lay aside that would help us run the race? Because we see witnesses of those that have gone before us, that have successfully run the race. And if they were willing to lay some weights aside, shouldn't we be willing to as well? If that brought them success and we want success, wouldn't we be willing to give up some of the same things they were willing to give up? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It's not just, the Lord is going to accept me however I choose to live. But we're going to have to lay aside sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running and patience may not seem to go together, but they do if you're in a long race. If you're in a Christian race, we have to be willing to run all the way to the end and not be like those that ran so well. And then, as Paul said, what did hinder you? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. See, Jesus was focused on something. He was focused on something that was before him. And if we're going to be successful, we'll have to do the same thing. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Do you think that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, put some effort into what he did? Yes. And if he's our example, do you think we need to put some effort into salvation? Do you think we actually need to do something? Do some works? There's going to be some fighting required. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 6 and 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, and I want to say, fight like a man. There's nothing wrong with being a man. Fight with all your worth. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 9. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. What a hero. He fought until his hand clave to the sword. And when the people came back, they didn't have to do any fighting. All they had to do is clean up after the enemy. That's how we're going to have to fight if we're going to be successful in our Christian warfare. There is some forsaking required. Now, this isn't very popular in so-called modern Christianity. You actually have to forsake something to follow Christ, right? We can't just take all the world with us and follow Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14 and verse 43. Luke 14 and 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not some that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Is that what it says? Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. If there is anything the Lord puts his finger on, we have to be willing to forsake that. That includes all sin. That includes a laying down of all of our will. Our dreams, our hopes in life. Lord, here you go. I'm willing to forsake anything you tell me. We have to be willing to forsake all the world, don't we? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 'Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.' Don't think it strange when you run into fiery trials like some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it strange that you need to actually make an effort to get to heaven. It was required of that great cloud of witnesses too. And it will be required of us. It was required of the Queen of Sheba to go hear the wisdom of Solomon. The three wise men, or however many wise men there were, that went to find the babe Jesus Christ. A great effort was required. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's an effort required on our part. Don't think it strange that you have to put an effort into being saved and staying saved. I want to ask you, what other worthwhile endeavor in life is there that requires no effort? What about a job? Do you think you're going to be real successful in a job if you put no effort into the job? How does that work? A job with no effort, and you be a real success. How about a marriage? A marriage requires some effort to make it a success. What about people who are focused on building wealth? You know those people put real effort? They get up early. They stay up late. They work weekends. They are talking during their meals about building wealth. What about building eternal wealth? That's going to require some effort too, isn't it? to lay up some treasures in heaven. What about people that start a business? Do you think that requires some effort? If I were to tell you that you could become very wealthy with very little effort, all you needed to know was a secret that I have to tell you. Would you believe me? What if I were to tell you you can go to heaven with very little effort? All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Would you believe me? That's not what the Scripture says, does it? It says we're going to have to put some effort into our spiritual experience. I want a balance of this thing. The world, they like this concept of just real easy and you've got your ticket to heaven. Nothing required for you to give up, no effort on your part. But I think we need to consider the examples of those who have gone before us, and I think we need to consider what the Scripture actually says. Let's read in James chapter 2 and verse 14. James 2 and 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone." We actually have to do something to prove to the Lord that we mean it. We have to put evidence to the faith that we have. Our works are an evidence of our faith. "Yea, if a man say, Thou hast faith, and I have works, shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So you see, it's not enough to simply believe. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." John chapter 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. See, if a man love me, he will keep my words." He will not simply make a decision for Christ. He's not simply going under the title of Christian, simply has his name on a book somewhere or made a large donation to charity. But he will keep my words. There is an effort. There is something we need to do in addition to our faith. May the Lord help us that we will be willing to take whatever effort it takes to make it to heaven, that we will run the race all the way to the end, to make whatever effort is required. Whatever the Lord shows us, we need to give up, do differently, anything, and may God help us all that we will run that race with patience all the way to the end. May the Lord bless you tonight.